You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, I want to invite you back towards the seat. We're going to be continuing in our series today called Connected, and we will be in John chapter 15. In 2020, our theme that God gave us at the beginning of the year is that he's wanting to build a deeper love for him and also for the scriptures into us. And for 2021, we are going with the theme that our larger Foursquare family has given to us, which is God is doing something new. He's making all things new. But our scripture for the year is Isaiah 43, 16 through 20, that talks about God doing something new, creating a highway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so I wanted to give you a little bit of encouragement and invite you to listen closely today. Not that you don't normally listen closely, but after you hear what I'm about to say, I really believe what I'm going to talk about today is very, very significant in what God's wanting to do in our church family in 2021. And you know how sometimes when you hear something more than one time, you can think, okay, maybe I should pay attention to this. Well, let me just tell you, thank you, sweetheart. And as I've been wrestling through this preparation for this series on connection, I've got more notes than I know what to do with. And so in some ways, I feel like the guy that gets investigated by the FBI because he's got stuff all over his wall and little connecting strings going every which way. I'm completely benign. Don't worry about me in a negative sense. But I'm looking at this stuff, and where am I supposed to go? And I can't get away from John chapter 15, which talks about Jesus being our source, him being the vine where the branches were connected to him. Because my thought at the time is we can't learn how to connect with each other in a meaningful way until we learn the example of how to connect with God. And so I did not tell anybody about this because, I don't know, sometimes when God speaks to me, it's not like when he talks, all of a sudden I feel 100% confident, oh, that was the Lord. It wasn't the James Earl Jones voice from heaven that speaks from on high. And it's like, that's him. And not even Morgan Freeman, which is a more benign version. It's literally, I wasn't sure, but I'm just kind of meditating on it. So Joni and I are sitting on our couch, as we like to do in the morning, reading our Bible, and I'm drinking my coffee, and Joni talks. And there's something about her talking during our quiet time that really bothers me. And it's quiet time. That's why they call it quiet time. And so we're sitting on the couch, and she says, can I say something? And it's like, I guess you're going to. Well, I read my Jesus book. I guess I should be kind to my wife. And I said, yeah, go ahead. And she said, have you given any consideration to talking out of John 15 at all, at any time in this series? And I started laughing at her. And to be fair, sometimes I laugh because I'm in pain. Sometimes I laugh because it's funny. I was laughing at this point because I just had been wrestling with God about what am I supposed to talk about and decided John 15. And she got all, I don't know if it's indignant or nervous or it's like, well, no, what are you laughing about? What did I say? And it's like, well, it's funny because I was just thinking about this and I just decided to talk out of John 15. So I'm laughing because I feel so encouraged by Jesus. But that's not enough. So the next day, I get a text message from Patty McConnell. Patty and Sean are two of our elders here at Hillside. And Patty says, I was reading something in my devotions this week, and I came across this idea of how we need connection and intimacy with God before we can have connection and intimacy with each other. And a bunch of really good encouragements and neat stuff inside the scriptures. And so I read that, and it's like not just one confirmation, but two confirmations. I was so excited, told Patty this is heading in the direction that I felt we were supposed to go. So not just from me, but from my wife and also from Patty McConnell. And if that isn't enough, anybody else besides me get a lot of phone calls from Pahrump or Ely or Beowawe, Nevada? And if you pick them up, it's somebody on the other side that says, can I talk to Lowie Lockie? So close personal friend is calling you about a car warranty on a 1981 Volkswagen Rabbit that you had when you were 16 and they need a warranty. You talk to them? Anyway, I'm used to those calls, and they especially come in between 8 and 10 in the morning for me, which is prime time, I guess, for people who are doing this. And I recognize I had my phone ringer on, which is super rare, and it starts to ring, and I go to I have this move where the phone's on the counter and I do this, it's from Pahrump, it's whoo, boom. And I was doing with the finger and I looked at it and it says Colby Stevens. Many of you remember Colby and Claire Stevens were a part of our church family for many years while they were getting their master's degree from the University of Nevada. And so I didn't give Colby the finger of, woo! I stopped and I picked it up. And it was the kind of thing where Joni comes over and says, you know, you picked up the phone. This must be interesting because I don't like the phone. And that stems from a time I worked for the state of Nevada and I worked in customer service and I answered about 650 to 700 phone calls every single day. And I don't like the phone. And that was my job. Anyway, so I start talking to Colby, and it's so cool to hear some of the stories about what's happening in his life as he and Claire live in Oregon City, and he's working as a project manager and owns his own business now and developing all these really awesome homes. And he said, I'm meeting with these guys on Friday mornings, and Colby has been pastoring this small group of men for several years, and he's leading them, and I don't think he would ever identify himself as a pastor, but what he's doing is pastoring and speaking into their lives and wanting God's best for them. And he said, he was asking different questions. What I heard him say is, I just wish I could communicate the desperate need that each of these guys has to have an intimate, close, personal connection with God. And as a pastor, as the man who's leading the group, I just wish I could find a way to communicate that. Can you give me some pointers or encouragements on something I could say about the importance of connecting with Jesus? And so we talked for a bit, and it was wonderful. He also asked that we would do more podcasts because he's run out of our Hillside podcast. Well, anyway, that's awesome. Hi, Colby. I miss you. So in my own studies, I came across it. Joni encouraged me, Patty did, and then Colby did. So all that to say, I've had it from, besides myself, three people who I know, love, and trust who shared with me, I think this may be where God's directing us. And so after the first one, I felt, After the second one, I felt more encouragement. By the time we got to Colby's message, I'm feeling like, I don't know if I can mess this up. We're about to find out, okay? So as we dig into John chapter 15, we really have the opportunity to take a second and to think through. This is Jesus in the last week of his life on earth communicating to his disciples. Most likely setting would be like in a vineyard or a place where he's using the pictures of things that people can see and feel and touch, things that they're familiar with, to communicate biblical truth. And what we're really looking at here is that Jesus identifies himself as the source of our life. He is the ways and means by which we grow and we develop, and that we are able to do anything that is good in our life, and that everything comes out of him. And so as I read through John 15, 1 through 11, I just want you to be thinking about Jesus speaking to you and inviting you to be connected to him in a close and personal and intimate way. Jesus said, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus starts off speaking in pictures and in metaphors. And the reason he speaks this way is because he wants them not just to hear what he's saying, he wants them to internalize it. He wants them to get it. And so as he's saying, he says, I am the true vine. I am the one through whom life will come. And by the way, my Father is the gardener. You could not have a vine without having a gardener. Because if you're going to have a vineyard in Israel, you have your... I want you to picture, if you can, in your mind, a vineyard in Napa or Sonoma, a vineyard that we would have in the United States where it's up on a little trellis type of a thing and it's all arranged in little rows. Well, in Israel, the vines go along the ground so that when the dew of the morning starts to form, it forms on the leaves and will water the plants. They don't have it set up like we do because there's so little water that they would be exposed to. So it's so important that the gardener or the vintner would be able to go around and trim any branch that is bearing fruit or remove those that are not. And so the vine and the gardener go hand in hand. So it communicates to us that Jesus is intimately involved in our source of hope and life and how we will function. It's also kind of indicative of throughout the book of John, he says seven different times different things that he is. He says, I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. Each of these things identifies something of who Jesus is and what he does for us. And as the true vine, he sets himself apart saying, there may be other vines to connect to, but I'm the one through whom life is going to come. Okay? One of my favorite parts of this is the invitation that he gives us to remain in him. He says, remain in me. Remain, in some translations, is given as abide, or to continue, to endure, to persist, to keep on, to stay. In order to bear fruit or to be fruitful people, to have the stuff come out of our life that is meant to come out of our life, we have to remain in Christ. And it really reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where it talks about being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that it's not in our ability to learn Bible verses or our ability to set our feet just right and to learn the right prayers to say. Our safety and our protection against the onslaught of evil that we would face. And this is really something I think that is even for the moms and the dads that were dedicating their kids today. The way for us to combat the evil that is in this world is not to become even fiercer and more strong than anything we would face. It's to stay close to Jesus. When we stay close to Jesus and we remain in him, he is the one that fights our battles. He is the one that goes before us. He is called a fortress and a strong tower. And it says the righteous will run to him and they'll be safe. As we remain in Christ, we will find not safety, we will find protection and care. Does that make sense? This is why the invitation to remain in me is to stay close. And it's funny because whenever he's giving a direction, he says, I want you to remain in me. Kind of like I remain in you. It's the same. In the same way I do this with you, this is how I want you to be with me. If you do, you will find that you will be fruitful. If you don't, there will be no fruit. Jesus identifies himself as the vine, and then he says, and you are the branches. We are the branches. If we remain, if we abide, if we continue, if we persist, if we keep on, if we stay with Jesus, we will be fruitful. And it's almost not even because of anything that we've done, but simply because we have stayed close to him. However, if we do not remain in him, then we can do nothing and there will be no fruit. And it'll be like many of the branches that the gardener has to deal with, where he cuts them off, piles them up, lights them on fire, and burns them up. What does it mean to remain in Christ? I think that one of the pictures that I've gotten as I've been studying this week is I've been kind of sticking with the pictures that I've gotten in dealing with my kids and especially with my grandkids. We feel incredibly blessed to have all of our grandkids live within about 20 minutes of our house. And at some point during the week, we're going to see most, if not all of them. And it is such an incredible joy and blessing to be able to be around them. And then when they would even invite me into the world, you know, where we put underwear on our head and we go do the things that little people do. Or we're, you know, hey, I made this with my Legos. Come look at this. And, or I was drawing this picture and look at this. And, oh, hey, look, we're playing this game in here. And it's a constant barrage that these little guys have with asking Joni and I to go do stuff. Very rarely is it we could just sit here and they go play and we're just like, isn't this wonderful? That's like 3 seconds every 4 years. That's not how it works. Usually it's, hey, come look. And as I'm thinking about remaining in Christ, I wonder, what have we lost as we've grown up? What have we lost as we've gotten more mature and able to navigate through life on our own and become more mature and sophisticated? I wonder if we've lost the childlikeness of being able to run and approach Jesus with every little thing that floats our boat just to take it to him because we want him to know what we're doing, or we want him to see what's happening in our life, or we want to show him the cool Legos we just made. As we've grown and matured, I worry that we potentially have gotten so sophisticated that we weigh whether or not to take anything to Jesus because he's the Lord of the universe after all, so do we really need to take everything to him? And by the way, we focus on so much of how we look and how we would be perceived, and it's been so long since I came to you, and what if I don't know the right words to say? And our sophistication becomes a block between us and God. Our maturity, so to say, keeps us from approaching him just as we are. The instructions we see in Scripture over and over are to approach him like a child and to boldly come into his presence. There's something about a child that has no shame, that would walk into the presence of their parent or a trusted loved one and say, look what I've done. And it's like, it blows me away. The second youngest grandchild I have right now is Brody, and he'll be 2 this summer. And one of the things about Brody is Brody doesn't like pants. He likes to wear his diaper if he's wearing anything, and he'll full-on Eskimo from here on up, but he's not a pants guy. And so when he gets ready to go, it's one of those things Mom and Dad have to make sure. We're going out. You need pants. And he'll be in his hat and his coat, and his mittens are on, and he's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man up here, and down here he's Fruit of the Loom Boy. He's just like living high on the hog. And there's something about the childlikeness where he doesn't know what he's doing is not what you're supposed to do. He's just doing it. Too often, we try and make sure we've got all of our ducks in a row, all of our I's dotted, all of our T's crossed, so we can very nicely and appropriately with great dignity come into the throne room of grace and stay near Jesus. When I think what he's actually inviting us to do is to boldly come into his presence just as we are, with the same tenacity that that little one would come in and approach him out of that childlikeness and desperate need. It breaks my heart to think that the first thought that would come to my mind when I start thinking about intimacy with God is, oh no, he's going to see. He's going to know. And if I approach God, he's going to, maybe the stuff that I've done before, the depths and intents of my heart are going to be exposed. And it's almost like when Adam and Eve realized that they'd sinned and they'd sinned against God, their first response was to go hide and to keep themselves away from God. When he came seeking their presence and seeking time with them, they chose to remove themselves. God's invitation and Jesus' kind invitation is not with fingers pointing, it's with arms spread wide saying, hey, remain in me. What is the picture we have of Jesus? What do we think of when we hear Jesus saying, I want you to remain in me so you can be fruitful, so you can have joy? Is it fun? Is it enjoyable? Or is it one of those things, how long do I have to sit here? I wrestled all week trying to figure out, Lord, how would you want me to communicate this? And over the years, I have shared that when I spend time with Jesus, one of the things that I do is I get a cup of coffee. Why? Because it's from Jesus. Okay? Coffee is wonderful. And I would sit and be quiet, and I would read, and I would just be. And there's something that I can look back on being a 5 and 6 and 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid, and at some point in my life, that coffee was a part of it, my Bible reading was a part of it, and Jesus was a part of it. And entering into that time, it's almost like I'm heading into this timeless engagement with God through Christ about the things that he would want to talk about. And it's just being, like when you're with a friend who knows you so well, they don't have to say anything, but when they do, it speaks life and encouragement to you. There is something I believe that God wants to break down in our lives of distance where we have kept him at arm's length when what he's wanting to do is to draw us near to him, not because of what we've done, but because of who he is. Because he recognizes that what we need in this life is to remain and to abide and to stay and to be where he is. And here's the best part. There's no ulterior motive and there's no list of stuff that has to be accomplished when you're there. You're just doing it. Now, I'm not saying, well, Louis said, go get a cup of coffee and sit and wait till Jesus shows up. But I'll tell you this. One of the movies that most impacted my life, I know you're going to say Star Wars for some reason, but one of the movies that most impacted my life when I first saw it was one that came out in 1981, known as Chariots of Fire. If you've never seen Chariots of Fire, ask a friend if they have a VHS. You could watch the movie Chariots of Fire, and it's the story of the 1924 Olympics. And there's really about a whole bunch of people, but there's really two main characters. One of them is the son of Scottish missionaries whose name is Eric Liddell. And Eric Liddell finds out he's scheduled to run in one of the gold medal races, but it's supposed to happen on a Sunday. And he refuses to run on Sunday because he says, that's the day I rest, and that's the day that belongs to God. And so unprecedented interactions with the Olympic Committee, they allow him to switch races and to run on a different day. And one of the things, he wins the gold medal. I'm sorry if I've given this away, but it is kind of 97 years old. One of the things that Eric Liddell says as he's talking to people later on, he had gone to back to China and was ended up dying as a missionary on the mission field. But one of the things he said is, somebody says, you know, why do you run if you're this missionary? This is your calling. Why do you run? What kind of fun or good is running? And all God's people said, amen. No, this is, why do you run? And he says, God made me fast. And when I run fast, I feel his pleasure. There is something that God made you to do that just feels, when you're doing it, it just is, it's right. And it may not be awesome, but it's your thing and you know and it fits. I believe God's inviting you to meet him in that spot. I'm not gonna tell you what that is because only you and him are gonna know about this. Find him in that spot. The part of my brain that works interestingly, my brain tells me things. It says, well, that's obviously not going to be enough. Because when the king of the universe shows up, shouldn't you at least have something more than just you with a cup of coffee, no matter how good the coffee is? The thing about the Lord is that he wants presence, not with a T, but with a C-E. He wants us just to be with him. And as crazy as this sounds, it is enough for us just to be with him, doing the thing that gives him pleasure. He made you to enjoy the things that you enjoy that are not illegal, that are not immoral, that are not unbiblical. Those things that you could think, well, what good does being a champion Lego maker have to do with anything having to do with Jesus? I believe if that's your gig, I believe Jesus rejoices at your Lego making ability. And that's not trying to be funny. It's more of him saying, you know what? Every permissible pleasure God made for us to enjoy, he expects us to embrace those things. He came to give us life in all of its fullness. And part of all of its fullness involves Legos. Not because it should, but just because it's things you can do that have, they're good for nothing. Okay, now you're going to tell me, well, certain places they have Lego. I'm not talking about the Lego competitions, okay? I'm talking about the things that just, you feel like this is one of those things I could do forever, and it's just so enjoyable. That's where God wants to meet you. Laying aside the propriety, laying aside the pomp and circumstances, running boldly into his presence is the invitation God extends to us. That's the type of connection he wants to have with us. One of my favorite things to do in the whole world is to watch my grandsons and granddaughter play together. And when Luca sees Mila and Mila yells, and now she can actually almost pronounce his name, but for the longest time it was like, Gukka, Gukka. And Luca be all, Mila. And if Mace is there, everybody loves Mace because he's the big one. Mason or Owie, and they all will run and hug each other. And then it's like, let's go destroy Grandpa's house. Let's go all the places we're not supposed to go because we're so cute, we can get away with this. And then they all, I'm imagining this part, but they all put their hands in the middle and it's like, one, two, three, destroy, and they go. That type of childlike embrace of just doing things for the fun of it, that's the place where God meets us. And it's so counterintuitive to anything that I would want to embrace, because I'm a firstborn. I like to have, where's the list that we need to have in order to approach God? And there's probably words to say, and there's probably an attendance being kept, and there's gold stars available, okay? And he is a firstborn too. But it didn't dictate his life to the point where he dominated everyone else to come to him on their terms. Sometimes Jesus meets us on how we would come to him. Like Brody the Stay Puft Boy with running around in our skivvies. Please forgive me if it's a little bit too close and personal, but there's something about the intimacy of Jesus' embrace that it's not at arm's length. He wants to connect with you. He wants us to remain with him up close and personal. When I was a kid, I used to play a lot with the pastor of the church's family and former pastor, Pastor Dave. And I will never forget the first time I saw Pastor Dave in his underwear at his house. It wasn't at church, which is good. And we're playing at the house, and I just hear this coming down the hallway, and here comes Pastor Dave and his whitey tighties and his tank top, and he's going in the kitchen and he gets a Coke and he goes back in his room. I'm thinking, that's the pastor. And I've tried to model my life after. No. But there was just something of, he doesn't have to be on all the time. He doesn't have to have everything together all the time. It's just being able to be and to enjoy. And there's an element of this that you could take this too far and go to some extreme. I'm not talking about the far out extreme. I'm talking about the open arms with which Jesus wants to welcome you into his presence and meet you in the thing that brings joy to your soul, because he's the one who put that there. Does that make sense? Okay. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. It's funny because a lot of the time we think if we're going to be fruitful, we have to do something to be fruitful. And in some ways, what we have to be is faithful. If we remain in Christ, if we're faithful, we will see fruitfulness happen. By remaining in Christ, we will see God's purposes worked in us simply because we're close to him. How do we remain in Christ's love? He says we remain in his love by keeping his commands. If we want to remain close to Christ, in the same way Jesus remains in his Father's love, he keeps his commands. He invites us to look for ways we can obey, we can apply, and we can be faithful to the things God has spoken to us to be and to do. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 4 goes a little further. It says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. The commands that God gives to us are not burdensome. Many times we think if we were going to open ourselves up to God and he would give us something to do, it's going to be the most difficult thing ever. And it may be difficult, but it's going to be because it will be because we gunk it up with pomp and circumstance instead of coming to him and with the way he wants us to come to him. It's really funny to me to think Jesus said he came to give life in all of its fullness, and we think life in all of its fullness can only happen in a prim and proper and controlled type of a manner versus the kind of abandon you see little kids engaging in. Just running around. By the way, this is not the transition for when the church becomes, we're going to start swinging, we're installing chandeliers so we can swing from them next week. This has to do with us engaging with Jesus and laying down the walls and the pretenses that we put up in front of him in order to be acceptable and to be able to be received by him, and instead coming and recognizing he knows exactly who we are, exactly where we are, and he calls us to himself to spend time and to know and to be faithful and to remain in him. A lot of the time when you read this a scripture like this that says, this is what love is, love for Christ is to obey his commands. Give me the list. I knew it was coming. All this, God made me fast. He made me to run. I feel his pleasure when I do it. Okay, now what's the list? What am I supposed to do? The list is, do today what you know to do today. If something's in front of us that God has given to us to do, love your neighbor as yourself. Honor and respect and care for your parents. If you see somebody in need, do something to be a blessing to them. Make sure you're taking time to feed your soul. These are all things that go into the package of doing and putting into practice what he said to do. And many times we think, well, the list is so long. The list is here. It's for today. Do what you know to do today. Today. To remain in Christ is not hard work on our part. It's simply staying with him. I like to walk. I like to walk fast. And it's not because I think I'm going to try and walk fast, but if I'm getting from here to there and I can go at Mach 5, I'm going to go at Mach 5. But when you're walking with another person, it's not fun to walk with them when they're walking fast. I have this on good testimony. Okay? Right? Yeah. Yeah, she says. We were walking the marina the other day, and I'm walking my normal speed because in my head I'm thinking our best time getting around the marina, walking even in the inlet, is 28 minutes and 32 seconds. I bet we could beat it. And Johnny's all, isn't it beautiful out here today? It's like, we have no time for beauty because we're on a land speed record around this marina. And I got to say, I motored and I pushed and, you know, she kind of latches on occasionally, is trying to slow me down, but I dragged her like an anchor throughout the entire thing. We get to the other side, and we were 7 minutes slower than our best time. And I'm like, well, that stunk. She's like, wasn't it wonderful to have that time together and to spend it with each other? I said, we were slow. We were so slow. And she said, well, maybe the purpose wasn't just to go fast. Maybe the purpose was just to be together. And I said, yeah, I was. And I missed it. When we spend time with God, sometimes our focus can be, I just want to get this done. Okay, what's the fastest I've ever read Psalm chapter 2? Okay, it's like a 7-second psalm. I'm going for 4 today. The speed to get through it, we miss the purpose is sometimes just to be together. At no point is Jesus going to be looking at you and saying, so how long did you read today? Yes, this is my notepad. And how much did you pray? Oh, 7 minutes? Eddie did 9. Okay. Well, I'm going to spend more time with Eddie because Eddie's better because you're just a seven minute. No, it's not it. The engagement is one of God desiring relationship with us. There was something when you read through the scriptures, you see in the Gospels that the thing that drew people to Jesus was not the fact that he just knew the scriptures, because the Pharisees knew the scriptures. Jesus actually said, hey, do what they tell you to do, but just don't model their life. What drew people to Jesus was the joy and the authority with which he spoke and the fact that he received people. Jesus was a man on a mission, and when the little kids came running, the disciples, excuse me, can you get these little ones out of here? Jesus has important people to talk to. And Jesus is all, shut your mouth. Bring me the kids. Matter of fact, everybody, this is how it's supposed to be. Be like the little kids who are coming to me. How long did Jesus sit there and wait and play with the kids? Set a timer for me, Andrew. Get it going. Okay, you got 7 minutes, kids. Do all the things you want. No. He was with them. We don't know who is probably Peter, but we don't know which one of the disciples is like, come on, we've got places to go, things to do. He was present just being there. And then there's other times Jesus would go and he'd sit and have dinner. And the people he's sitting and having dinner with, do you know what kind of reputation these kind of people have? And Jesus said, let me see. Yeah, it says here that the sick are the ones who need the doctor and not the people who think they've got everything all figured out. So thank you very much. I'm going back in there. So many things we do, we want to be appropriate or we want to have things perfect for God. And in reality, what he just wants is us and he wants our heart. He'll take care of bringing the form to back up the substance. But may we never lose the depth and breadth and joy of just coming into his presence and remaining with him. My favorite thing that happened today, Joey and Grace live with us. We're very thankful for that. Luca's playing upstairs, and we hear Jane crying, and it's so good to hear the littlest baby cry because she's got lungs.
She's got preacher lungs. They're just like, bah. And Joni says, hey, if you need me to hold the baby, let me know. And it's like, I wish I had that kind of boldness to just like be asking, let me hold the baby. But she says, if you need me to hold the baby. So Grace brings the baby down and the baby's kind of meh, doing a little meh thing. And Joni gets the baby and she's rocking the baby and all of a sudden Jane just goes. And she's looking around. And so we start talking to her and she flip her around and she's hanging on the edge of the couch and she's spelunking underneath the couch and she's doing all this. And it's just being there. How long did that take? I don't know. It wasn't 1 o'clock. Because it was fun and it was enjoyable and it was what's supposed to happen. The kind of bonding where you just spend that time together. Those are the pictures that Jesus gives to us to say, this is what I want with you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that is true. I thank you that you desire that we would be close and connected and remain with you, just like you are the vine and we are the branches. I would ask, Lord, that anything that gets in the way of us being able to approach and to remain and to be with you, any sophistication or false maturity or whatever it would be, feeling of shame, we lay those things down, Lord, and we choose to approach you in childlikeness. Not childishness, but childlikeness, just to be and to do and to spend time with you. I would ask that as we read these scriptures, as we hear these things, that your word would settle deeply into our heart and into our soul. We thank you that you are already at work inside of us, drawing us to yourself, and that you're looking for us to spend that time with you, not just for what will happen with us, but because of what you want to work in, through, and around us, because we cannot help but be changed when we spend time with you. We thank you for your life and for your hope and your peace. In Jesus' name. Now, with nobody looking around, everybody with their heads bowed, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you've never started a relationship with Jesus, Jesus tells us that anybody who would call upon his name would be saved. Anybody who would want to come to spend time with him, there's no hoops you have to jump through other than to believe in your heart that he is Lord and confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead. And that's the point at which your relationship with him starts. It's not merely about keeping religious rules and going through these circumstances in order to try and make God happy. It's meeting him right where you are because he's right there and him drawing us to follow after him each day of our life. If you want to start your relationship with Jesus, I would invite you just to lift up your hand and say, yeah, that's me today. I want to have that kind of a relationship with Jesus. If I miss you, wave at me. I don't want to miss you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You can look up. I don't know what you heard today. I'm praying that what you heard was an invitation to meet Jesus in an area of your life that you greatly enjoy and that you find a great deal of peace and comfort in doing and recognizing that he's right there and wants to spend it with you. And if we look at connecting with Jesus and remaining with Jesus as when I'm in that spot, he made me a reader. And when I read, I feel his pleasure. He made me a person who can sit and be at peace and quiet and not have to do anything. And when I do that, I feel his pleasure. For some of you, he made you to be people who are loud. And when you're loud, you feel his pleasure. I don't. He does. But it isn't about everyone else. It's about him and you and what that means. That makes sense? Okay. Will you come up and close us in prayer, Bean? Thank you.
Sure. I'm the closer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've made us wonderfully and perfectly, and we're so unique, and that you are going to, by your Spirit, speak to each one of us and let us know and reassure us of your love, but then also of the things that you've put inside of us. And the things that bring pleasure to you and that also feeds our soul. Yes. Lord, thank you for the little ones here today that we were able to dedicate to you. Lord, that they would know you at a young age and know your word and walk in your ways. And that would be true of each one of us. whether we're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, that we would know your word and stay faithful to what you've called us to do, and that's to love and obey. There's no other way. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. Have some fun this week and have it with Jesus. Right on.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.